praying, you still need to pray, don't you? You certainly do. And I'll tell you this, the devil will rob you of every opportunity. When it comes to mind that you need to seek God's face, I'll guarantee you the devil's going to come along and he's going to give you a good reason why you've got something better to do at this time or more important to do at this time. I was talking to Dan Harden this morning and we were talking about rushing, moving, so far, just getting behind the power curve and trying to hurry to catch up and all of this other stuff. Well, the devil loves us to be in that kind of a situation because as long as he's got us hurrying, and as long as he's got us rushing, he can steal us of a time to seek God's face in prayer. And so the first song was a wonderful testimony of the fact that you know whether you feel like praying or not, you take the time out and you seek God's face in prayer. And Holly's song, the Lord's a coming. Boy, the Lord is coming. I'm looking for his coming. I trust that you are too. And today is the day that we need to be looking up. Because today is the day that the Lord could come any moment. He could come right now and take each and every one of us. And I trust each one of us this morning here present is ready to go. We're ready because we're clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because we deserve it, not because of works of righteousness that we've done, but because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection and certainly the promise of his coming again. What is your association with the world today as a Christian? What is your association with the world today? How do you live in the world today? Are you in the world? You know, the Bible says that we need to be in the world, but we need not be what? Of the world. It's one thing to have a house and to have a home or have a car, have a job, and all of this in the world today. But to being caught up into the sinful activities of the world and the worship of the world is something that God is not delighted in at all. This morning, if you've got your Bible, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. When I was a little boy living with my grandmother, I've shared this before. I want to share it again because every time I think about this particular portion of Scripture, I'm reminded of this. That when I was living with my grandmother during the summer, she cautioned me never to play with the Hooten boys. She reported to me that they were rascals, they were troublemakers, and always up to no good. And one afternoon, my grandmother looked out the door and saw me down the street playing with the Hootens. They had brought out their father's bow and arrow. And I mean to tell you that the bow and arrow was one of those hunting type. It wasn't one of those little, you know, archery type things that you just shoot at a target. I mean, these had sharp blades on the end of them. But the Hooten boys brought out their father's bow and arrow and were shooting arrows straight up in the air while everybody would run for cover, not knowing where that particular arrow would come down. I don't remember seeing my grandmother coming down the street. All I remember is being jerked up like a rag doll and toted out across the street and back up to her house. I got the switching of my life that day and was made to sit in the living room chair the rest of the afternoon. I learned my lesson about the Hooten boys. I never played with them again. Many of them, there was about 12 of them. And many of them, I'm sure, trust that they're serving the Lord today. And maybe others are serving someplace else. I don't know. But my brief association with the Hootens could have cost me my life. You know, that's true. It could have cost me my life. That arrow could have come. One of those arrows could have come down and could have landed right in my head and killed me. One of those who we associate with, who we rub elbows with, can affect our lives either positively or negatively in this world. And you know, this message is probably more so for young people than it is for older people, because the older we get, the more we get bashed around by the world, the more experience we have in the world, but the more we realize as we get older that there must be a lot of truth in what the Holy Scriptures say. And we're drawing closer to the Lord Jesus. We take time out to look at to smell the roses and look at trees and appreciate nature. But so probably this message is for younger folks today, but nonetheless, older folks can take a lesson from it as well. But who we associate with, who we rub elbows with, can affect our lives either positively or negatively. I believe we have a clear example of this in the life of Abraham and Lot. In verse 1 of Genesis chapter 13, it says, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him." into the south. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, in the time that we have left this morning, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would minister in a wonderful way. Father, use me that as I share, Father, that the Holy Spirit will speak to my heart and that I in turn will share. Not only will I share with what the Holy Spirit lays upon my heart, Father, but I'll take it to task as well, Father, that as you speak to, through me to the congregation, you're speaking to me as well, Father, and I look forward to the learning process, Lord, as we share in your word. So this morning, Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray today would be the day that they step out of the world, Father, and into the spiritual light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we can be in the world, but we need not be of the world. And so, Father, bless your word this morning. Bless your people. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for the Sunday school program, Father. We for all of those that participate in the Sunday school program, we thank you for them, Father. We ask your blessing upon this hour of fellowship in your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the first 11 chapters deal with events. They deal with events, for example, the creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. And then the scriptures fall silent for a period of approximately 300 years. For about 300 years, there's nothing recorded from the time of the fall of Babylon until the voice of God comes to, or the Tower of Babel, until the voice comes to one person. Who is that person? Who is that person? What's that person's name? Abraham. Abram. Well, it was Abram at the beginning, but it soon, shortly thereafter, it became Abraham. That's right. But then the scriptures fall silent for a period of 300 years, and after this time, the Lord again speaks, but to one man, and his name is Abram. God has called Abram to an almost unbelievable task. Turn with me, if you will, just for a moment, back one chapter to Genesis 12. And let's just look at what God has asked Abraham to do. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Suppose God asked you to do that today. Look at what God's asking. Leave your country. That's the range of your affections. Leave your country. The range of your affections. Leave your kindred. That comes a little closer to the heart, doesn't it? Leave your kindred. Leave your kindred and your father's house. And, of course, that's the innermost circle of all Abram's emotions, and certainly ours. You know, home is where the heart is. And home is a place that ought to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every home in this sanctuary, every representative that's a part of a home ought to have, if they've got Jesus in their heart, then Jesus ought to be a part of their home as well. But he was to leave all of this behind. And someone might say, oh, how terrible of God to require such a thing for one man. Isn't God a family man? Well, do you think God's a family man? I think he's a family man. I believe God's truly a family man. God is a family man, but sometimes your family, your kindred, your country can be a barrier and a stumbling block between you and the grace and the blessings of God. God must be first in every life that belongs to him. Isn't that what our Sunday school, I know that Charlie shared that this morning in our Sunday school lesson. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. So Abraham was leaving among kindred that were idolaters. I mean, Abram was living among kindred that were idolaters. They worshiped little gods. They worshiped little statues. And they believed in other gods. They served little statues and worshipped pagan idols they called gods. And so God told Abram to leave the influence of the world and to follow me. God wanted personal time with Abram. And so he called him away from the bright lights of the city and brought him to a quiet place where he could speak to him. God took Moses, if you'll remember, into the wilderness away from the influence of the world. God took the Hebrew children into the wilderness away from the influence of the world. He took his own son into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he took Paul into seclusion for 3 years to prepare him for service. Let me ask you a question. How much secluded time do you have with the Lord Jesus Christ these days? How much time do you take out in seclusion with the Lord Jesus? How much time do you take out allowing the Lord Jesus to speak to your heart, the Holy Spirit to minister to you on a daily basis? I tell you, our hearts and minds and eyes and ears and all of this are open to so much garbage in the world that we need to take time out to open our heart and let God cleanse us. You know, cleanse us. We need cleansing every day, don't we? I do. I really do. God desires private and personal time with you and with me. In Psalm 46:10, God says this, "Be still and what? And know that I am God." What an awesome statement that is. Be still. And so many of our lives are just a buzz. So much of our life is just a buzz. And God wants us to take time out and be still and know that I am God. In Isaiah 26:3, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Trying to get our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis, the devil has got so many things to preoccupy our minds, doesn't he? Has a lot of things to preoccupy our minds today. In Matthew 6:6, the scripture says, "But thou, when thou prayest," this is the Lord Jesus Christ saying this, "when thou prayest," or when you're talking with the Lord, "enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." God blesses those that follow him. God blesses those that are willing to take time out and get and separate themselves and speak to him. Again, verse 1 of chapter 12. "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And I want you to note something right here about, and you might want to make a little note, a pen note maybe, next to this verse. If you want to make a little pen note, Genesis 11:4. In Genesis 11:4, do you remember what the children of Noah wanted to do? Nimrod and all the children, buddy, they wanted to build this tower. They wanted to build a tower for the very purpose of establishing themselves a name, of building themselves a city, of creating for themselves a worship center. And what did God do with that tower? The Bible says, he came down, and when he saw it, he destroyed everything. He scrambled their languages and sent all of these folks off into different directions. God wasn't going to have that. But notice here what he tells Abraham he's going to do for him. Notice what he says. God is going to do for Abram what he refused to allow Noah's descendants to do at the Tower of Babel, to make for themselves a great name. And God said, "Abraham, you trust me, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Isn't that wonderful? I'd rather do it God's way than to do it the world's way. Because the world's way, the world is falling apart. The world is going the way of ruin. The father that follows Christ becomes a great blessing to his family. The mother that follows Christ becomes a great blessing to her family. Abraham was not only a blessing to his own family, but in the course of time would be a great blessing to millions of families throughout the world. And verse 3 of chapter 12 says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And what does it say? Who did he take with him? Didn't Lot's nephew. God said, "Leave your kindred behind and follow me. Go to and I'll take you to a, you just follow me, and I'll take you to a place of blessing." But here we see Lot is with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now listen, Abraham goes to Canaan and builds an altar to the Lord. And the scripture says that there he called upon the name of the Lord. Well, he was almost home. He was almost home. Or you could say, you know, he had found his home at last. This is exactly where God wanted him. So there shouldn't be any more trouble. There shouldn't be any more problems. Some Christians think once you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you're home free. But let me tell you something. The moment you give your life to the Lord Jesus, the devil doesn't care anything about you as long as you're living out in the world and you have no relationship to the Lord Jesus at all. But the moment that you make a commitment to him, the moment you start to draw toward the drawing of the Holy Spirit, and you're drawn to him, then your problems begin, because the devil begins to focus upon you. The devil wants to rob you of everything God has to give you. It's like that the sower, you know. God sows good seed. And buddy, but when that seed hits the ground or hits the heart, it needs to be absorbed into the heart. And the devil wants to come and quickly take all of that away. But for the Christian, life is not a bed of roses. Life sometimes becomes a burden. You know, Jesus said, "In this world, you'll have tribulation, but what? be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So Abram, as he leaves, he comes up against some problems. The Christian life is a promise that is a promise that Christ will always be with us through the trials and the tribulations of the world. But Abram faces a famine. A famine comes upon the land. Instead of staying in Canaan and trusting the Lord through this particular trial, the scripture tells us that Abraham went down into Egypt, and there he lied to save his neck. There he put his own wife into danger. There he became a stumbling block for others. And there, before things got too out of hand, God intervened and delivered Abraham out of an embarrassing situation and turned him around and brought him back to the altar of blessing. Sometimes, you know, you and I as Christians, when we get too far out in the world, we wonder why we don't enjoy the blessings, why we don't enjoy that excitement and joy and that other Christians have of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you what, if you really go and look in the mirror and find out where you are physically and spiritually, you'll come to realize that you need to go back to that altar where you first met the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to that place where you first met Christ and reestablish, rededicate yourself to the Lord Jesus. And then those blessings and that joy and that peace will come back to you. But as long as you're out there chasing the world, you'll never find the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, a peace that passes all understanding. But now, if we'll turn now to chapter 13, verse 1 again, it says, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt. Oh, it's nice to come up out of Egypt. Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had. And what does that say? And Lot went with him into the south. Lot will be the thorn in Abraham's side. God said, get thee away from thy kindred. But Abraham is still allowing Lot to come along. Verse 2 says, "And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord." You will remember that the prodigal son left his place of blessing, but it wasn't long before he came back home again. Somehow today we may feel that we've lost our spiritual blessings. Our heart's not always enjoying that peace of God that we once had. Maybe we need to return spiritually, as I've already said, to that place where we first met the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1:9, God says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? The blood of Jesus Christ can do that very thing. We can be restored. This is an exciting thing to know. God has blessed Abram immensely, and Lot also has been blessed. And so when we come to verse 5, it says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land." It's interesting that God points that out. You know, Christians in their fellowship one with another, the world watches that. The world watches how Christians relate to each other. If we're fussing and fighting and backbiting and so forth, the world takes testimony of that. They see that, and they have no faith. Their faith in our faith becomes nil to nothing. If that's the result of knowing Jesus Christ, they'll want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. But here it says, "And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." Christians should never be found fighting with one another. This example destroys the work of Christ, and it brings discredit upon the Christian faith. So Abraham makes the decision. Look at what he does. Here's Abram's sacrifice. Abram is always willing to sacrifice for family. Verse 9, it says, Abraham says, Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, if thou go to the south, I'll go to the north. Then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And we note that Abraham condescends to his nephew Lot. What should Lot's response be? What should Lot's response be in respect to his uncle? That's right. No, Uncle. You decide. You select. That would be the proper thing to do. Is that what Lot does? Well, let's look. The Bible says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Lot's heart and mind and soul desires the things of the world. He sees all the material things out there. He sees the lushness of the land. Abraham brought him out of the bright lights in the city to bring him to God. You may take the boy out of the city, but only God can take the city out of the boy. Lot lifted up his eyes, the Bible says, and it was in pride and lust. He has no respect for his father Abraham. He shows little regard for the things of the Lord. And note, he has learned little from his uncle about spiritual things. You remember what Jesus said about a prophet? A prophet is without honor save in his own land, in his own country, in his own house, I'm sorry. So Lot studied the land before him, and he chooses what appeared to be the very best portions. Verse 11 says, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." He pitched his tent toward Sodom. What is the first thing that Lot sees when he wakes up in the morning? He pitches his tent and he makes sure that it faces Sodom. Lot would arise in the morning and see the security and the sustenance of the world. Lot would lay down at night and see the security and the sustenance of the world. There is no record here that Lot built an altar anyplace. His worship of the Lord stopped the moment that he began to worship the things of the world. And that's what happens, my friends. That's exactly what happens. You say, I don't have to go to church today. I don't need to go to church today. I can go to church next Sunday. The preacher doesn't expect me to be there every time the door is open. But let me tell you what happens to a Christian when they decide that they're not going to church today. Well, it's going to be just so easy next Sunday to decide not to go to church next Sunday. And the longer you stay away from the fellowship and the encouragement and the strength and the support of your brothers and sisters, the easier it becomes. The easier the devil makes it. Verse 13 says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him." Now listen to what God says, tells. Now, Lot lifted up his own eyes, right? Lot lifted up his own eyes. That's what the Bible says. And he looked out and he saw the best, and he wanted the best portions. Listen to what God tells Abraham to do. "Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise," God says, "and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Did the Israelites properly own the land of Canaan today? Yes, by God's standards, they certainly do. They certainly do. They only occupy a portion of it, but God gave it all to them. God gave it all to them. God called Abram away from the world so that he could bless him. Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. God had blessed him so. Even Lot was blessed, even by association. But Lot's blessings will stop. His life will be vexed day in and day out. He will be kidnapped. He'll lose his house and his wife. And the biblical record of Lot will end with Lot laying on the cold, dank floor of a cave in a drunken stupor following an incestuous relationship with his own daughters. I tell you this, I would want to warm to Abraham today and to have that fellowship with him that Lot turned away from. I say that. You know, we say that. It's easy to say that. You know, it's like Peter. Oh, I would die for you. But would we really? Would we really want that kind of an association with a man that is so close to God? What kind of association do you have? Who do you run with? Who do you rub elbows with today? Who rubs elbows with you? And if they rub elbows with you, do they know anything about your relationship to Christ? Donald Gray Barnhouse once said that he didn't want to be in a man's presence very long before that man knew that he belonged to the Lord Jesus. And we ought to have the same attitude. Lot's outcome is not what God wants for any man. God's desire is to bless and not to curse. But the rebellious will eat the fruit of their own way. That's what the Bible says, and be filled with their own devices. Finally, in verse 18, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Do you have an altar unto the Lord at your home? You ought to. You ought to. We ought to rise with the Lord, and we ought to go to sleep at night. Before we go to sleep at night, we ought to visit the Lord. And so many times we fail at those things. The land of Mamre means richness. Hebron means communion. Sounds like a very pleasant and a peaceful place to dwell. Abram dwelt there, and he was also buried there. What happened to Lot? What happened to Lot's offspring? They became the father of the Ammonites, or he became the father of the Ammonites and the Moabites, two worldly ancestors of Abraham that tried constantly to destroy Abraham's children. The world wants to destroy the testimony of Christ. The world wants to destroy your testimony and your association with the world or with Christ will determine the outcome of that association. I was talking to one of our deacons the other day, and he said, Jim, I had quite a blessing at work the other day. I said, well, share that with me. And he said, I was just in the office, and I heard some of the men work with me. He said they were talking, and we were talking about going someplace, and he said said something like, well, you better take him along with you because he's a Christian, and he'll make sure that you guys stay on the straight and narrow. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you like to have that testimony in your work area? I tell you what kind of testimony we're really looking forward to. Welcome home. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. What is your relationship to the world, and what is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Don't get the cart before the horse. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for the fellowship. We ask you, Father, to bless each one that's come this way. Again, Father, this morning, if there's one here who's never made a personal commitment to you, help them to realize that the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. God's not going to save you because you happen to be in this sanctuary this morning. God is not going to save you because you happen to put a dollar bill in the offering plate. God is not going to save you because you happen to be busy working at this particular Christian activity or that Christian activity. God is going to save you because you call upon him from the heart and you believe upon him. Abraham was the father of faith. Abraham was not a perfect man, but he had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ makes us perfect. Hallelujah. This morning, if you have never made a commitment, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Father, for that one that's furthest from thee, I ask you to bless them with a knocking upon their heart of the Holy Spirit again, that they might open the door of their heart and receive the blessing from on high. Father, there are Christians here this morning that are busy with worldly affairs. Lord, they need to be busy about your spiritual affairs, Father, the kingdom. And Lord, I would pray that if for some reason they've stepped off the path and not they just don't have that joy and that excitement, that blessing from on high anymore, Father, I pray that they would rededicate their life to you. Today, begin the first day of the rest of their Christian life and walk afresh and anew with the Lord Jesus. Father, I ask your blessing upon these that have come this morning. You get praise, get honor, and glory. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen.